right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. And you know what? They say that the fourth time is a charm, but...
I say anyone that hasn't been able to hear us in the last 21 minutes because we're speaking sign language for those of you who are hearing impaired.
But now, thanks to the genius engineers over here at the Wrestling Weekly studios, we are now on the air.
I would say welcome to the award-winning Wrestling Weekly.
Welcome to the award-winning.
But after this, I'd say we're just lucky to be here.
Yes, very lucky to be here, but we are here. It is
22 minutes past the starting time. Wow, the mad scientist, if you've seen Back to the Future, my version is my co-host, Doc Young.
And you know what I was afraid of before we started the show? I was looking through the news, and there are some big news stories this week, but there's not a lot of little news that usually fills up the show, and I was kind of worried that we wouldn't have enough news to fill up the show.
Well, that's why we started late.
Problem solved.
That we don't have to worry about filling it. Listen, join us for the first 220 minutes of silence.
Sometimes things have a way of working out on their own, I guess, Les.
Okay. If you say so, we're talking to ourselves. Let's get the sad things out of the way.
Let's do that.
Bad news, Allen passed away this morning from WWF, the big heel up in Stampede Wrestling for a lot of years. And I didn't know him well. But the guy, you know, quite candid and open with his views on the business, and he passed away, I think, at 61.
63.
Okay.
Yes.
And Ray Thunderstern, who I first met in 1962, passed away today as well at the age of 74 this morning. I took him off life support from results of a heart surgery, actually. Ray was in the middle of Vegas last year for Cauliflower Alley. I used to see him also at the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic up in Columbus, Ohio, the bodybuilding show. Ray was a tremendous bodybuilder. This guy was not just a wrestler. He was a pilot. He created his own aviation company. He started a chain of health clubs on the West Coast. He did a book on fitness over 60 and on and on and on and on. And quite the accomplished gentleman. And a real nice guy, passed away this morning at 74. So, man, it's like every week somebody's...
I know, that's what I was about to say. You must be, you know, dreading looking at the news anymore.
Yeah, it's...
It's like, now what?
Yeah, well, you know, to a certain degree, you're right. Had a good time in Mobile last week.
Yeah, you did at the training seminar
Training seminar at Gulf South Training Center, Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer's place. That went well. I'll tell you about the weather here in a second, but that kind of curtailed our attendance, although we did have 25 people out, some from as far away as New Orleans and Natchez, Mississippi. And we're going back in June for a complete weekend, and... So I like working with the kids down on that roster. They're enthusiastic. They want to learn, and it was a good weekend otherwise, except for the fact we drove through a 600-acre forest fire on our way to Mobile, sat through two tornado watches with threats of inch diameter
Hail.
Mm-hmm. And 60-mile-an-hour winds and on and on and on. None of this, we had some rain and a little bit of wind, but...
Yeah, they got slammed.
Yeah, well, Enterprise, Alabama, where the sadly the kids got killed in the high school.
Right.
That was about 100 miles to the east, a little northeast of Mobile. But anyway, went to the Gulf Coast reunion and had a good time and saw a bunch of people that I haven't seen long, or see maybe once a year. It's a low key atmosphere. It's
including Percy himself.
Yes.
You pretty much only see Percy once a year anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see him twice because, like I say, he's got to get a date to us to me in the next couple of weeks. But anyway, we're going to do a weekend there in June. So we're
excellent.
Looking forward to that. That's and I say we had a good time. And I wanted to touch on a couple of things. Since I wasn't on last week, the talk of the Bashams going to TNA. I had mentioned in my Wrestling Insider column that I do posted on Thursdays on PW Insider that quite some time ago when the Bashams were released, when Doug and Danny Damage is the name he wrestled under in OVW.
Right.
Anyway, I said, if you're afraid of using Doug Basham, I mean, because of, the fact that he might be soiled goods from WWE because he wasn't pushed to the heights, my thought was that put a mask on him, and he's a great talent. Now I hear that they're going to be a one-trick pony because your favorite diva, Chrissy Hemme, needs somebody with WWE or connections or severed connections or whatever.
Right.
To wrestle the Voodoo Kane Mafia, and the beat goes, oh, I'm about to go to sleep with that gimmick. And,
right.
Okay, anyway.
But you forgot one thing.
What?
That's the award-winning Christy Hemme.
The award-winning Christy Hemme. Oh, okay. She's breathing. I know that's a prerequisite with you. But, yes, anyway, I think they're missing the boat. I honestly do. Those guys are valuable as a team, as heels. They can work with baby faces or heels. It doesn't matter. And they have both worked both ways. It's just a shame just to use them for one shotter.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're talented guys, and
maybe they'll see that and try to slip. Try to change direction after.
Although
this.
I didn't watch Comedy Central. I mean TNA last week. I haven't gotten around to that yet. I'll tell you, in what I read and what people are talking about, it's not like I'm, a vast majority of one here.
You're not alone in your feelings of TNA.
No, a lot of people are saying the same thing, And it's, whatever.
Because it's true.
Well, I see their numbers went back up last Thursday to a 1.1.
Yes.
Which is good, but, here it comes, Wrestling Society X is on again, off again, not on again. Then they're going to do a marathon show, except for the last show, which will air a week later at a different time.
And that's going to be...
keep up. And
that's going to be the series finale is going to be on the 20th.
I feel bad for Kevin Klein, Rock, and Cody, and the guys for the company. I mean, they really... you can't say they weren't given a fair shake. I'm not sure they're given a shake.
They had some good talent on the roster,
I'm going to say this. I think the hokiness would have worn out real quick, the exploding this and that and the cartoon characters. I honestly do. I'm not into that. I don't give a damn if God comes down and promotes it. I'm not into it. And I think that would have worn out quickly, honestly. But, yes, there was some good talent, and maybe they'll shop it around somewhere else.
Hopefully, and maybe repackage it a little bit.
I think they need to make some changes, honestly, to make it viable. Half hour is a tough grind, but, again, I guess it depends on the audience you're shooting for.
Didn't some local wrestling shows used to join the matches, in the middle when they only had a half an hour?
Yeah.
Maybe they should try something like that.
No, I tell you what I've done is taken, I put together a secondary show for the Dothan Mobile territory when Ron Fuller owned that and the Knoxville territory. And I used to do one up at Knoxville called Southeastern Showcase. And I basically, that's it was easier than editing. You know, I'd see him, you know, how much time, okay, unless I'd re-roll into a match by, so, you know, we picked this match up in progress.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, you obviously don't want to do that because, well, it was, again, made more sense then because the ring entrance wasn't 90% of the show.
That's true.
And still shouldn't be, but it is.
The 80s did that.
Huh?
The 80s did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not, and again, not averse to music. When the entrance takes 10 minutes and the match is only going to be 3.
Oh, you're giving me flashbacks to Triple H's entrances.
Huh?
You're giving me flashbacks to Triple H's
anybody's
entrances.
Anybody's. I mean,
can you believe?
Everybody has to climb the four corners, the turnbuckles, and wave and give their middle finger, their fourth and first finger, their thumb and forefinger.
Some kind of sign.
Everybody has a secret signal,
right,
as they climb the turnbuckle.
With their peeps.
And
their fans.
In a business that's supposed to reek of originality and creativity, that's pretty well sucks, doesn't it?
Can you imagine if a 2005 Triple H was in?
Well, you know what? Back in the day, some booker would have said everybody doesn't climb the corners.
Right.
If so-and-so's doing it, he started, he does it, that's it.
Right.
End of story. It's like clones. It's like somebody manufactured. You know, these guys came off an assembly line somewhere at the WWE plant or the TNA plant. Because, I mean, it's not one company or the other. They all climb the turnbuckles. It's like, Jesus, you're you know, already elevated 3.5 feet above the people to start with. What more do you need?
You know. That's true, but yeah, a little creativity, originality, and
what's original about it?
No, I mean that's what they need.
No, okay.
A couple of years ago, I told you about this guy. He's on Wrestling Society X. He was Josh Abercrombie's partner on the Trailer Park Boys, Spider Nate Webb. And I went and I seen this guy locally a couple of years ago. Now he had the most unique entrance I ever seen, and he changed it every time. Sometimes he would actually take about 4 minutes to get into the ring, but he would do different things each time. It was like he had ADD or something, and he forgot he was supposed to go to the ring. Sometimes he would go in the concession stand and grab a bunch of candy and start throwing it to the kids. Sometimes he would go up to the highest seat in the house and go sit there for a minute next to somebody. He did this through his entire entrance music, and then he would come into the ring and dance. But he did something different each time. And I had never seen nothing like that. And I thought that was at least, you know, you can't do that on TV, of course, but I thought it was at least creative.
Okay.
And original.
Okay.
If not.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. I hope it's more exciting than it sounds.
He's a pretty good dancer.
But then again, I get back to this, and again, I said at the top of this little discussion, I'm not averse to music or colorful entrances. However, I am averse to them being more important than the match.
Right.
And anything, you know, I mean, so there again, but see, that's, I don't know. Yeah, we won't go into this.
I think that was taken from boxing, actually.
What?
The big elaborate entrances.
Boxing doesn't do...
They ended up for a while in the 80s doing stuff like that. It would take a couple minutes for them to get to the ring. They would walk real slow.
Well, I forgot. And the other thing with wrestling, babyface, you have to go around and smack hands with everybody in the front row.
Mostly on the indies.
I just assume that it's election and they're running for mayor or something.
Kissing babies.
God forbid that they would be focused on actually what they're going out there for, and that is in competitive athletic competition.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's just secondary to getting cheap heat. I'll shake everybody's hand and hope like hell that my horrible work doesn't make them boo me instead of cheer me.
our live chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com, they're asking right now what you thought about the test release a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know what? It's like revolving door tech. I don't know. I mean, they hire somebody, they fire somebody. I don't know. I read that he asked for his release. I read that he was let go. He got popped by the wellness program. And but this is the second time he's been released when he wasn't working anyway, right? The first time he was injured, coming off of surgery and got released.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I don't know. I really don't know.
The feed's rolling around in the chat room. They are asking for a suggestion of how somebody should come to the ring. Just an example.
A clever idea. I wouldn't say UFC is a little straighter laced, but I'm not adverse to a guy showing some energy. I watch OVW and these guys all come out like they're having seizures. But it's almost like they're all alike. It's all out shaking their arms, waving their arms hysterically in the air. And I like Benoit's entrance.
He just comes in there.
Well, you know what? But he doesn't just come in there. If you pay attention, I know he doesn't have breasts. We can't pay a lot of attention to someone without breasts. Anyway, he comes out like he's going to kick somebody's butt. I mean, he comes out because he's, there's Chad Johnson of the Bengals, and then there's Peyton Manning of the Colts. Chad is, throws a showmanship thing in. But the point I'm getting at is everybody does it. It's not unique anyway. And that's what I see a lot of these. Like I say, the guys in OVW, it's like they're having seizures, and they're waving and jumping all over the place. And when the bell rings, whoops, there's not a lot there. Right. And that's not – before that, this story gets spread around. It's not to blame Danny Davis or Al Snow. It's these guys aren't – well, you can be a great athlete at something, at anything, and that doesn't make, qualify to be a professional wrestler. And here's my other problem with this. They're trying to teach what they, meaning those people who own these companies and make these directives and set these guidelines – don't seem to understand that it'd be much easier to teach a wrestler how to be Al Pacino than to try to teach Al Pacino to be a wrestler. And they're trying to put the other cart before the horse. They're trying to put the promos and the characters. And
right.
They'll cover the fact that you're a horrible worker. No, it won't, actually. We could sit here and talk chapter and verse about that, but we won't. But, I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't hide anything.
Right, but why the promos and the ring entrances.
Why?
Why they're making it more important, don't you?
Why? No, I don't. Why?
For marketing purposes. They're out to sell toys.
Well, you know what? Stuff's going to say, if you get, you think, I'm trying to think, Brett Favre, he's a great promo.
Yeah.
He is.
Brett Favre?
Yeah.
He's a good interview.
Okay, but that's not what sells his T-shirts or the Green Bay's T-shirts, is it?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Yeah, the fact that he's a great athlete, right? And he does have charisma, but it's not necessarily when he talks.
Right.
See, again, I'm stupid here. I'm just trying to parallel these things with real life,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're supposed to be doing. See, but again... You're of the persuasion, which apparently 99% of the independent wrestlers are the same persuasion, too. What's easiest is best. Cheap heat is better than having to actually work for it.
No, I don't agree
Well, you do agree, because you think slapping hands and talking is more important.
No. I never said it was more important. I said, do you know why they do it?
Yeah, I do, but I'm just saying, though. But, I mean, it's being put, I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, with somebody, some guys, it's 80% fluff and 20% talent. And with
sure.
others, it's the other way. But, and then there's the middle ground. But, I mean, the point is, I still believe it's easier to try and teach Willie the Wrestler to be Al Pacino than to try to teach Al to be Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, when I say this, let me give you 5 minutes in the ring, and you'll never ask again. No, I mean, everybody is not cut out to do this.
No.
I mean, I don't give a damn what you've done athletically or not athletically. I've seen guys who have no athletic background become very proficient at our business. I've seen other guys who are tremendous athletes in other fields and can't cut it, period, end of story.
It is its own category.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's not easy. And that's why the cheap pops don't matter to begin with, I mean, they really don't. But, I mean, that's the thing. We'll stomp our feet and clap our hands before the match starts to hope the hell somebody takes sympathy on us and cheers us. We'll go around and slap everybody's hand. We'll climb the turnbuckle and wave and give them the finger or the four fingers or six fingers or whatever the hell the secret sign for your club is.
Right.
And then hopefully we'll try to wrestle, and if we're not very good at it, maybe all the other stuff will hold us in good stead until we can get the hell out of here. No, I mean, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. You know, I really don't. I mean, well, here's my point, too. We can go back to Pete Maravich. We can go back to Dr. J and basketball. Were these guys showmen? They absolutely were, but they also were talented basketball players. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose, who I think is a jackass, although he's from Cincinnati, I don't have a lot of respect for for what he did in baseball, but as a person, I don't have a lot of good to say about the guy. But he's an overachiever, and he slid on his belly. Did he have to? No, he was a showman.
You're right.
But he also got more hits than anybody in the history of the game.
Exactly.
So the point is, if you can combine the two, I'm cool with that. But if you're using the latter to cover the fact you don't have the using the former to cover the fact you don't have the latter, then I don't have a lot of patience for that.
Right, and Martino was saying, he says, isn't the entrance part of the showmanship in entertainment and wrestling? Yes, you just said it. It's part of.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be all of.
Right, and it's not.
And too often it is.
And it's not more important than the match in the ring.
Yeah, so I don't know who made it up, but it was a clever thing was that the Ultimate Warrior. Once the music stopped, the match was over.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Well, but I mean, and you know what? He's not the only one. I mean,
yeah.
There are people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all waving, again, face paint, colorful entrances, this and that. And once the bell rings, there's nothing there.
If I was a wrestler, that'd probably be my case.
Well, maybe that's why you're not a wrestler. Well,
that is why.
You could be, though. You could be if you wanted to start your own promotion in the next 10 minutes.
I don't think that.
You could be the star of the show.
I don't think I'm cut out to be a wrestler.
I don't either, but a lot of people that are imitating wrestlers today aren't cut out to be wrestlers.
But at least I knew that when I was a teenager, that I was not cut out for it.
What do you, I thought Michaels and Orton, I didn't watch, honestly, I had so much going on, I watched the first part of Raw last night, but not the whole thing. Michaels and Orton started it off, I thought, pretty good. I didn't get to see my man Steve, but anyway.
Such good stuff last night on Raw. Such good stuff.
You know what? Why? They're going back to pro wrestling basics 101.
Yes. Did they switch writers? Or
I don't know. I hope so.
What happened over there?
Well, they're doing things that are logical.
Yes.
And guess what? Their numbers are better. Their house shows are picking up.
And it's making me
smile. Isn't that clever?
They had Mick. Did you see Mick Foley's promo last night?
No.
Mick Foley had come out. They were saying Vince was in the ring and he was asking.
Speaking of Mick Foley, isn't he going to be on this show sometime tonight?
Absolutely, yes, he is.
I just wanted to check.
I was going to segue into that, but yes.
Okay.
Mick is going to be on the show in just a little bit. We're going to ask him about some of this stuff. But Vince was in the ring last night and he wanted to know who's the special guest referee going to be, you know, and. Here comes Mick Foley's music. Mick's come out, and he's got this white T-shirt with stripes on it. And,
that's the same one he had 10 years ago. You don't know Mick. He doesn't spend money.
It is probably the exact same shirt.
Of course it is.
And so here he comes out with this, and he's saying, well, now Vince is starting to kiss his butt. He's like, oh, you know. And Mick's like, you know, I would like a couple things if you don't mind, you know. I'd like my job back. And he's like, well, all right, you got your job back. He's like, well, you know, I'd like to come on here and promote my book if you'd let me. And he's like, all right, you got it. And he's getting ready to leave, and he's like, I think maybe you're misunderstanding. I'm the guest ringing out, or I'm the guest referee, but not for your match. He said, I'm guest refereeing some eating contest at one of my friend's bars here in Phoenix, Arizona, and does the thumbs up, and everyone's just laughing. But logically, it brings Mick back, because last time you saw Mick, he was fired.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a good logic.
That is logical to rehire someone that you fired. It works for me.
Well, if he's got something over you, like he thought he was the special guest referee, yeah.
Yes, yes. but he couldn't be unless he were rehired.
But if this were 5 years ago, WWE would just have him show up and not even say anything.
I know.
A for effort. I applaud that. I applaud little things like that.
Well, I applaud anything that makes sense, because so little has in the last couple years on anybody's program, for the most part, with the exception probably Ring of Honor. But I was, you know, everybody's talking, and I haven't seen a battle plan, but this thing about WWE breaking up into, like, WWE Asia, WWE Europe, WWE South America, WWE North America, or WWE wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He's out to conquer the world.
Well, you know what? I see. Good. Now, what they don't realize is they're in a position now to go play. You know, they burn out the domestic market for a while, which is starting to be rejuvenated. But so they were able to go to Europe and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have, if you make those a constant, then well, your business is going to fall off a little bit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't keep it at peak all the time. You just cannot do that.
Right.
The other thing is, now, if they will give these guys coming through their developmental system a chance to work in these other places with veterans, before I would assume that the North American or the domestic market will be still be the major one.
Right.
But so you put Johnny developmental wrestler and send him to South America for 6 months and then send him to Europe. He gets to work with veterans and actually gets a chance to see him. So the turnover with young guys is just, hope they had a cup of coffee here and they didn't get over. Okay, fire them.
Mm-hmm.
Or send them back. It's like, you know what? We all know how to drive, but we all didn't learn in the exact same amount of time now, did we?
From what I gather,
what?
From what?
That's an easy thing to answer, Doc. The answer is no. We didn't all learn the exact amount of time.
Well, that's obvious. I wasn't going to go there.
I mean, that's the point too. You can't. Everybody. Somebody's going to get over instantaneously. Somebody's going to take a while. When George Scott changed the booking techniques in North Carolina and Mid Atlantic, Crockett Promotions, we've been tag team territory for so long, and he brought Johnny Valentine in. Now, when Johnny first started working main events, I've seen people get up and walk out because he was so methodical. That was when he was new, when he was the people didn't know who he was. He hadn't gotten himself over as a top heel.
Mm-hmm.
But a year later, there was nobody walking out. But see, that things take time.
Right.
You can't. Brett Albright was brought up to be Gunner Scott, who was the protege of Chris Benoit. And then somebody said, well, he wrestles too much like Benoit. Well, if he's his protege, there's a clever idea. He probably does. But now it's a minus all of a sudden. But they told him to do it. I mean, none of this makes any sense, you know. I've had people say, well, what are they looking for? I said, I give up. I don't know. And you can work in a system and don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's subjective is the point. But, you know, it's just the guys, a lot of guys, kids aren't given a true opportunity, you know.
From what I gathered from the news story, they were going to make these, like, little territories. Like, there'd be WWE Europe, and they would only use European people in it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know which way they're going to go.
I would say you're going to use some local people simply to have them be... I mean,
attracting
the local flavor.
Right.
You know, what did Vince Sr. do in New York for so many years? Rocco, Bruno, Morales, ethnics, right?
New York flavor.
What was the major influx of immigrants to New York? Italians. Hispanics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, that's my point.
Right.
So, sure, you're going to use... somebody in that country, but you're not going to base it around that. If you do, then, well, never mind. That takes us in a whole other direction. No, I find that silly.
Let's just hope they don't.
Well, I find it just counterproductive, because the idea is to take your greener guys, move them around with the veterans, and that's how they're going to learn. You can't learn if you and your buddy have been to medical school for 3 months. You can identify with one another in a 3-month window, But you can't identify with anything in 6 months until you've been with somebody that's done it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay, thank you. I hate being right. Once
now
in a
you
while,
don't. You love it.
Once in a while. No, but if it keeps more guys working, I'd say, you know, here's the deal. You got to realize that professional wrestling is a, well, I don't know if it's, it was spawned in America, but it's always been dominated by America. And so the style is going to be American. So, you're going to send Americans other places. I mean, if you don't, I just don't see the value. But anyway, I can see it be a plus in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Kurt Angle has been added to the SportsIllustrated.com list of names involved in this Florida steroids
really?
Investigation. Yes.
No, come on.
SI.com posted the story last week about steroid HGH sales at a Florida Palm Beach Rejuvenation Center. And the drugs that Angle allegedly received are both steroids. Supposedly it was two prescriptions for Trenbolone. Did I say that right?
I don't know, did you?
And yeah. Nandrolone.
Nandrolone's called something. Damn it, I can't think what else it's called. But anyway, it's called something else. But, well, surprise.
Well, this was like 3 years ago.
Using anabolics. No, you're kidding me.
This was like 3 years ago, and Kurt Angle has already admitted.
Well, you know what? Listen, it's... I'll give you my the long and the short of my whole thing with steroids. I have never used them in my life. I just never saw the need, which is not to say if I were 20-year-old today or 21-year-old and you told me if I... put on a few tight LBs that and a little muscle, that there might be a seven-figure contract for me. I don't know. Would I gamble? I can't say for sure. I don't know.
Well, you're...
But what I can say is, realize this: whether it's baseball, football, track and field, professional wrestling, martial arts, I've left a lot of things. But I mean, here's the deal. The people that rise to the top in these industries or make an attempt to rise to the top all have one thing in common, their competitiveness and their desire to excel. And when somebody beats you at something, whatever phrase you want to use, you're going to do what it takes to top them. So, and part of this, you know, we talk about the whoremonger team owners that, you know, risk the athletes' bodies and this and that and the other thing. But, see, I'm going to point the finger. I mean, which all this is true. I mean, the athletes themselves are competitive, and at some point will they risk their health to be better? Yes, they obviously will.
Mm-hmm.
With owners, you're a piece of property of whatever value, but you're only valuable if I can use you, you know. So yes, they probably turn their back as much as possible, you know, on and on and on. Okay, but here's the other thing. It's like the fans, it's like the Romans and the Christians and the Lions, and the fans of the Romans today, and they're bloodthirsty, cold, and they really don't care that your mother just died. I paid $35 to see the show. By God, you better entertain me.
They want action.
And they want bigger bumps. They want you to go through 10 barbed wire tables into an exploding caca grill or something. I don't know. But the point is, how do I do that? Well, I got to repair the injuries quicker, and I've got to do goofier bumps because those good fans who never took a bump in their lives expect me to end up on in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
so they can, get off. You got to lay the story. You got to lay it back there too. The fans expect more, and you know, to me, they expect whatever they want. But I think there should be a limit, and there's seemingly everybody's pushing past that limit.
That was the only problem I really had with Wrestling Society X. If that kind of grind that they put those guys through caught on, there'd be a lot of crippled wrestlers in the future. real early in life.
You know, the whole thing with the, like I said before, though, I mean, I understand what standards and practices are for, but I don't understand why throwing fire is any worse than kicking you between the legs or electrocuting you with water and open wiring or, you know,
right.
or throwing you into an exploding casket. And that's the hokiness that I think needs, you know, is going to be short term for them. I think that everybody needs to wake up. I don't give a damn what generation you are, and again, realize that there's a smidgen of showmanship in UFC and a whole lot of competitiveness,
mm-hmm.
and they are popping. And now, is WrestleMania going to outdraw them? Of course they are, you know, because they're going into a huge stadium.
Right.
They're not limiting themselves to an arena, but would they, you know, so, but this will be the only event where they'll beat them at the house, or I don't know, but I don't know that they'll beat them at the pay-per-view. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's, that, you know, because, again, you are trying to suspend my disbelief, and the more I saw wrestling, and let me, you know, Kevin Kleinrock is a nice guy. I wish him all the success in the world. My good friend Cody Michaels, some of the wrestlers there that I know. I hope they all make a bazillion dollars, okay? But you can't suspend my disbelief when I think I'm watching Batman and Robin.
Right.
You know? Sorry, wrong number. And I think still that's your job. If you call it sports entertainment, call it, as Harley's called, cartoons if you want. I don't care. But you're still supposed to be suspending my disbelief. And at some point you stop doing that with that stuff. But I hope those guys, you know, I don't think MTV is really, I don't know what they're doing. What kind of, are they on a crack or something at MTV? I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, one minute it's on, next minute it's off, then they move this time, that time. They don't advertise. They do advertise. They tell me I can see the original cut on Tuesday, and actually I can see it on Friday.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of confusing.
And I think that's part of the ratings problems with that.
Well, I would like to see them hook up somewhere. Like I say, you know, it's a unique demographic they're shooting for.
Right.
And it's something different,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I applaud them for trying something. But again, like I say, the hokiness, I'm not. You know, I'm not buying into. And I, you know, the funny thing is I've had a lot of younger people tell me the same thing. That a good young guy who's had some dark matches and may end up with a WWE contract, I won't mention his name, I don't want to put a heat on him, he said, do they do anything without doing a springboard off the second or top rope?
Rarely.
No. Where's the elephants and the calliope and the peanuts? That's a circus act. And again, I'm going to tell you, when Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey come to your town for 1 week, you're going to go one night. You're not going 6 nights. You're not going 7 nights. Because the Flying Luendas or whoever the acrobatic geniuses are on that tour are going to do the same thing Tuesday night they did Monday night. The same thing Wednesday night they did Tuesday night. They have an act. And once you've seen it, you've seen it. Now, seeing it once a year, you get into it, but you're not, you don't want to go see it every night. You don't want to see it twice a week.
Good point.
And that's the problem with too much of this choreographed acrobatics. You can't. First of all, you can't suspend my disbelief. Second of all, you just push me further into the abyss, if it were, as it were. But anyway, that's, you know, but I applaud WWE for bringing. And I think by switching the guys from brand to brand occasionally. If they do it without announcing it, it's going to be even more effective because then you've got to watch to see if it's actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And all you've got going for you to do, well, you know, with the fan base, so predominantly, you know, smart to the business, surprise is all you got going for you. You know?
Pretty much.
The fact that I shot my father in the back 3 times and he survived a life-threatening paralysis. Oh, no, that was...
That's surprising that he survived. There's a surprise right there.
That, you know what? I don't want the Wrestling Society X guys to think I'm being partial. That what I just talked about is as hokey as it gets to.
Here's some funny news that, well, smart wrestling fans will find this amusing, but Wrestling Observer is reporting that when Jerry Lawler was asked who he wanted to induct him into the Hall of Fame this year, he said Lance Russell. Now, according to the reports, the WWE staff panicked, and Kevin Dunn had to talk him out of it, saying that nobody knows who Lance Russell is.
Is that what's important?
That,
you know, but here's the point. You ask Jerry Lawler who he wants to induct him, and he tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you try to convince him it doesn't work for you.
Shouldn't have asked him.
Huh?
Shouldn't have asked him.
Exactly. you're exactly right.
Right.
You're exactly right.
And tickets went on sale on Saturday morning for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony only. That's going to be, of course, the day before WrestleMania in Detroit. According to PWInsider.com, the event sold out in about 25 minutes. WWE.com is reporting they sold out in 1 minute. Of course, they're going to probably, you know, put additional tickets available when the event draws nearer. But 25 minutes for the induction ceremony. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You know, that's, and I know somebody's, I read on a report from Raw last night when they announced Nick Bockwinkel. A lot of people were quizzical, who's that? Which is the reason that What's-His-Face said about Lance Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Nick deserves it. Nick was quite a, had, I forget how many title runs as AWA's world champion.
Right.
And he's a very talented gentleman. He's a wrestling heel. Those of you under the age of 30 wouldn't know what that is.
Because they don't have any anymore.
Well, actually, yeah, we do. Finley and Regal.
And Little Bastard.
No, not Little Bastard either. please, don't link them with, never mind. Doc. If they're short and have breasts, my God, they're just, they're really in, aren't they?
they're
you and Denny Crane on Boston Legal.
What can I say?
Are into little people. Okay. Denny's a freak, too, just like you are. Anyway, I think, you know, I'm glad to see Nick get the nod. You know.
The last little bit about the Hall of Fame is that WWE's in talks with USA Network to get the Hall of Fame ceremony live or on tape this year. They didn't have it at all last year.
Yeah.
On TV. But when they did have it, I thought the ratings were pretty good. And I don't see why they shouldn't show it.
I don't either. Because it is a once-a-year thing, and it should be workable.
And you've got celebrities and stars coming in, of course, that you don't get to see a lot. And the ones that came in last year, you didn't get to see them at all, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a special thing. I think they should air it. That's just my two cents. USA, I know you're listening.
They tune in to see what our opinion is on
Vince tunes in. That's why the writing's getting better, and USA tunes in to find out what they should air and what they shouldn't. You know, they all come to Doc and Les.
Yeah, right. Sure. Check the mail. Okay. All right.
TNA news. Discussions are underway between NWA and TNA in regards to the name NWA World Heavyweight Championship and the Tag Team Championships, of course. According to PWInsider.com, TNA is most likely going to lose the rights to the NWA Championships due to what they call financial issues and unhappiness on both ends. This is probably going to lead to, you know, a TNA World Champion. Or a TNA heavyweight champion, I'm
whatever.
Sure, to be the world, as well as tag team champions.
You know what?
Yes.
It's not really a lot of value anyway. Sadly enough, that NWA belt was the most prestigious ever in my lifetime, and it'll never be the same. Well, none of the titles have a lot of meaning anymore because they switched it so quickly without a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. And the fact the NWA title's been splintered so many times since the 80s.
But to me, as a performer and as a kid starting out, That was my thing, was to be in, was to get with an NWA, work the NWA territories.
Right.
You know, because I don't know, at least I held them in higher regard myself. You know, when I was NWA rookie, boy, I thought that was, you know, I was walking in high cotton, as they say.
You were strutting.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. New TNA wrestling DVDs coming out this year. TNA released a press release. They're going to have a Best of Abyss, a Best of Christian Cage, Best of the Bloodiest Brawls, Volume 2, and
Best of Eric Young Looking for Prophylactics.
No, but you're going to love this one. This is going to be, I know this is the first one you're going to get. Kevin Nash and Alex Shelley present the Best of Paparazzi Productions.
I can't wait.
I'm going to send you that for Christmas.
And if Jay Lethal won't come to my house and do Randy Savage, then I'll go to his house. don't even get me started to go there. We only have a valuable hour, so we're going to do some. You know, we're going to take an hour and use it to mean something for our company. Like, here's how a guy buys prophylactics.
Right.
Here's how another guy does bad imitations. Here they had a limbo contest.
Just in case you teenagers out there don't know how to buy prophylactics, TNA's going to teach you this week.
Well, not everybody knows how, especially not a guy in his mid-20s.
Right.
Who knows? I hope, I don't know. I started saying know where to put it. I'm not sure. Jeremy probably showed it.
I think that's going to degradate the show into something a little bit different than we wanted
to. I don't know. Well, no, you know, but I mean, it's, you know, my thought is, I know that when they showed the segment of Eric buying the prophylactics, that somebody yelled, "Hey, honey, we've got to buy this pay-per-view. Eric's got a rubber." okay. Because that's why I buy pay-per-views.
Oh, God. You had some good news this week.
I did.
Yes, you were bestowed another honor while you were away.
I was bestowed.
You were bestowed another honor while you were away in Mobile, Alabama. Les Thatcher, guys, has become the first inductee into the Wrestling-Radio.com Hall of Fame. Hooray for you, Les.
Wow, that's cool.
You had some stiff competition in this. Now, what they're doing over there at Wrestling...
Talking about prophylactics and stiff competition. We are not discussing Les, the same thing here.
You could have let that one slide, but you just... You just couldn't let it slide, could you?
I can't help myself. If you open the door, I've got to rush in.
But actually, yeah, they're doing a different poll every week, putting in, I think it's a choice of six wrestlers. Six different wrestlers every week, only one winner a week. Les was the very first winner. He's the first inductee. You beat out some names like Fabulous Moolah, Randy Savage, Jerry Lawler, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Jimmy Hart.
Wow.
Wow. That's scary. Tough. That's tough competition.
That's scary. Thanks.
So congratulations to you.
That's quite an honor. It really is.
Absolutely.
We're doing some special Mania thing, too?
Yes, we are doing, I believe it's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll have more news as it draws near, but... we're doing a special on audiowrestling.com. It's going to be a special one-hour program. Not so quite leading into WrestleMania.
And with 1 hour, we will start on time, probably.
We will start on time.
22 minutes into the show.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I will have things all ready.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, that's a weekend, Doc. You'll probably just be starting to come home. or down off your high at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Or waking up. You never know.
Or waking up. That's true.
They're talking about in the chat room right now about Mickey James. Did you see the bump she took last night on Raw?
No, I did not get to see it. I read about it.
Ooh, wow. Botched move right on the neck.
She went for the Hurricane Rana and didn't hook in? Or
mm-hmm.
Well, it's a comedy. Well, you know, they're... we could talk about untrained people, but
sure.
We won't. I mean, when I say that, you know, it's you need man. I can't begin to tell you. I mean, it's you got to be careful. We were talking about that down in Mobile, as some of the old guys were making you know, talking about times when guys did this or did that and didn't do this. And I won't go into the whole story, but I was talking about a guy who was green, and I told him to give me a backdrop, and we were in a small town doing a spot shoot for the Nashville office, and we were going to split falls, and I was going to take the third one. So for him to take his second fall, I told him to do something. I forget, it's been too many years ago, but anyway, backdrop was part of it. And when I'm pushing off and trying to get elevation to get turned over, I expect him to help me by putting his hands on my thighs and pushing with his back and everything with the help get me up.
Right.
And this guy didn't do that, and I'm seeing myself head first straight for the canvas, and I've just got to get enough twitch in my rear end to get over, and I did, but barely did. And back then we went to the dressing room between falls, and we got back in the dressing room, and I said, "Hey, you know, man," I said, "you know, I almost didn't get over on that backdrop. You didn't give me any help at all." And he looked at me like, "Huh?" And I said, "You push." I said, "Well, I've never done one before." I said,
"Oh,
well, you know
God.
What? Don't be bashful about telling me these things, especially when my life's on the line."
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, here again, there are people out there in companies that aren't mechanically skilled, you know, or don't, you know, and when you're putting your body in somebody else's hands, you know, your butt's on the line. It's plain and simple.
Right.
So that's things that have to be careful with.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
That's a little scary.
Yes, it is. Yeah, no, I didn't see that, but I can picture. They said it could have been serious with her too.
Yeah, especially, you know, that's kind of scary, especially for indie workers, because a lot of times you really don't know who you're getting in the ring with. If you're in the same company, you know, somebody like WWE, of course, you got to know something if you're going to be there.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm being generous, but
I don't know. I'm not real sure that's true.
But on the indies, oh my God, the guy could be, you know, an accountant or something during the week, you know.
Well, most of them are.
And I mean, you just don't know what they know.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, everybody wants to do goofy bumps because they're cool, macho. I'm not sure, you know, whatever your particular reasoning is, but you know, everybody wants to get all this, you know, the goofiest looking stuff in the world in, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous if you're good at it, you know. But anyway, that's the nature of the beast. In the year of our Lord, 2007.
Absolutely.
Coming
up on the show in March next week, guys, we've got former WWE star from the Heartthrobs, one half of the Heartthrobs, Romeo Roselli, is going to be here next week.
He's in town here tomorrow night. HWA has a show down at Whiskey Dick's, which is down on Pete Rose Way. It's a nightclub. They had about over 300, I think it's close to 350 people there last time. It was Abyss was on the card. He's on the card this time. Romeo's on the card. Raven and Irish Airborne and whatever. But anyway, he's going to be in town here Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Are you going to be out there?
No, I'm not. I'm not going out. I've got enough things to do. I'm trying to catch up on being out of town last week. So
I'm going out to a show this weekend. It's three blocks from my house.
All right.
So I have to be
You're
there.
Back to lunch. You're all set.
I tracked down the promoter, and somebody that close that's running this area, which I didn't think there were any. I usually have to go up to Indianapolis to find work. But, yeah, I wormed my way in there.
Well, of course you did.
Hey, I'm, you know.
Did you sign a DVD or
No.
Yeah, I just wondered.
But
well, and you are doing what?
I'm doing color commentary on their show this weekend.
All right.
This is going to be my first time ever doing color commentary. So if you have any advice for me, Les, give it
don't,
to me
don't
now.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I don't. Don't try to be Bobby Heenan. Don't try to be Jerry Lawler. Actually, try to make some sense out of. Following the match. JR said in one of his blogs on the barbecue site, he was talking about, he mentioned that working with me and Smokey, and I was more an analyst, and he's right, I was. But that's that to me is, rather than talking about puppies and, if I can give you some insight as a color person into why someone's doing something and where they're going with it, then maybe I can get you more tuned into it as well.
You mean as far as Matt's psychology,
yeah.
Comment on that,
yeah,
kind of thing?
You know.
Okay.
Just reach into your vast background of all your matches you had.
All right, I will.
Speaking of matches, that kayfabe commentary.
Yes,
we're gonna have those guys. We're gonna have them on the show.
We're gonna have them soon.
Have you watched or listened to yours yet?
I have skimmed it.
Skimmed it. Oh, okay.
I've skimmed it.
What we're talking about here is a company that has matches, and what they're doing is like, well, one of the guys they're using is Greg Valentine. And Greg is going on watching a particular match and talking to you about how he remembers that match, how it unfolded to him at the time, or why he was doing this particular thing or that particular thing. And it's a unique, approach to the business. And something probably interests, a wide variety of people.
It's
pretty
cool.
You know, there's a funny thing, too, is so many people keep wondering, what is our business really like? So now people are told what our business is really like,
mm-hmm.
and they don't seem to care. it's like whatever. It's true, right? Something like this. Now, if I really want to know the inner working, to me, I mentioned color. You guys probably don't even remember Al DeRogatis, who had been an pro football player, but he was an analyst. Doing NFL games a number of years ago, and I enjoyed listening because he made it more interesting for me because he made it, explain the technicalities. And anyway, Doc will be doing that on a show this Saturday night, just blocks from his house.
Yeah, I will come back on the show on Tuesday and tell everybody how miserably I failed.
You get travel expenses and stuff for this, too.
I think it's...
All right.
I think it's 10 cents for every step I took.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
That's
cool.
Pretty cool. But also coming up in March, on March 20th, the lovely Lacey is going to join us from Ring of Honor and, of course, the now-defunct Wrestling Society X.
Well, it's not defunct yet.
It's not. It's actually, Lacey's going to be here a couple hours before.
I haven't seen her on Wrestling Society X.
She's on WS Extra. .com.
Okay, well, maybe that's why I haven't seen her.
Yeah, it's pretty much the internet show. She hosts that with Fabian Kalin and
my favorite ring announcer.
They introduce the segments and stuff like that. So she's going to be here talking about her time in Wrestling Society X, Ring of Honor, and that's going to air, of course, literally minutes before the series finale of Wrestling Society X.
Literally minutes. Megaseconds.
Megaseconds. It's going to be like, she's going to be done talking, and then it's going to be on TV. So, yeah.
All right.
It's going to be just like that.
Just like that. And you can say, I just talked to her.
What's that?
And you can say, I just talked to her just,
that's right,
just minutes ago.
I'm just going to point. I'm going to say, look, right there.
Yes.
When she filmed that, she didn't know she was going to be talking to me right before this.
And you, too, can talk to Doc Young just minutes before your... Whatever. Just send 1995 and two box tops.
That's right. I'll send you an 8x10.
From a Budweiser six-pack to inebriated, a Doc Young box.
Les, you're so mean tonight.
I'm not being. I'm just being my sarcastic self. My wife doesn't think I'm funny either.
We're going to take a
break. Terry Taylor, when I'm allowed to talk to him, that is, since I do an internet show, I'm not allowed to talk to Terry a lot anymore. I don't fit
in. All these new rules in wrestling.
Group. But anyway, he and I always, our wives, other people think we're funny. Our wives just don't think we're funny at all. I'm in trouble all the time at home. I'm sending out this warning in case I don't answer the phone next week if I'm dead.
We know who wears the pants in the Thatcher family.
Yes, we do.
Les does. And you know why? Because his wife says so.
Yes, exactly. She said I could.
That's right. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got our featured guest on the program.
The
one and only. Mick.
Cactus. Mick.
Mankind.
Yes.
And Dude Love.
Yes.
Yes. He's going to be here. Thumbs up, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Ruth? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
There's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. He is a number one New York Times best-selling author, a true wrestling icon, and the author of his third autobiography called The Hardcore Diaries, which hit bookstores today. The one and only Mick Foley is here on Wrestling Weekly. Mick, thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it. I feel bad. I guess three kids were severely injured when Hardcore Diaries literally flew off the shelves.
You know what I like? I read somewhere today that you said, well, Winston Churchill did three autobiographies. Why shouldn't I?
I think he did four.
I thought right then, you know, every time I would think of my friend Mick, I think of him in terms of Winston Churchill. I always have.
you know who else said that? Not that I'm dropping names here, but Katie Couric said the same thing. Because I used the same weak joke when I was on Today Show in 2001, and she said, I always compare you to Churchill.
I haven't talked to you in a while, but I've got to tell you, and those listening, if you have not read Tietam Brown, please.
Stay away from it.
No, I liked it. I thought it was great. Talk about a little dark.
You know what the funny thing is? I didn't realize it was dark until people started telling me it. And I remember the first guy that I got feedback from was Barry Blaustein, who directed Beyond the Mat. And I was in England doing the Robot Wars show, and I checked my messages, and it's Barry, and he sounds like there's been a death in the family. He said, Mick, this is Barry, and I just finished reading your book, and it's really good. It's really good, but it's so dark, and I'm having trouble sleeping at night. But I'm really proud of you. And I thought, you know, I thought he'd been out in California too long. And,
right.
And it was like, then I started getting feedback from every editor, like, can't the girl live? You know, and I Everyone I talked to thought it was really dark, and I lightened it up considerably. Yeah, the first project was a lot darker.
But you know what? Knowing the author, I could see the smirk on your face with some of these things that I read. Right? You say rubbing your hands together like the mad scientist. Say yes.
I was doing a discussion and signing in at Dayton. That may have been one of the times I stayed over your house on the Dayton Cincinnati swing. And when I was taking questions, one girl raised her hand and she said, "You seem to be such a nice guy." And I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "Where did this come from?" And I said, "Well, you didn't see my 1995 ECW promos, did you?" You know, everyone's got people have different sides to them. And I guess when I sat down late at night at 3 o'clock, and that was right after 9/11, so I came to see that book as being like a microcosm for how I felt about the world. Like it may have been a dark place, but there was this little light shining through.
You know, you just talking about your ECW promos. The deal with you and Flair, the night that he got in your face as though you stepped over the line.
Right.
And somebody said to me, "Well, you know, did you hear the people?" I said, or more to the point, you didn't hear them, because this is what the art of the work is all about. They weren't sure.
Yeah, it was. That was an incredible night, and it just showed, you know, it goes to show you know you can't script passion.
No.
And you know, I kind of knew a little bit about what he was going to say, but they said you know he wanted to surprise me, and I didn't want him to know everything that I was going to say. And it was, man, it was brilliant. But you know what really annoyed me, and I took this out of my afterword in the new book because I didn't want to be so down about the way things turned out. But I talk about it a little bit in the interviews I did with JR that I guess are on WWE.com this week. I said, JR, I've been around a long time. I said, and here you had a promo that I'd been building these promos up, you know, from phoning him in from Stanford, you know, and Flair couldn't get his hands on me. And I finally said, hey, I'm going to be in the Meadowlands next week, and I look forward to, you know, addressing this face-to-face. To me, that should have been built up as one of the main events of that night. And instead, there wasn't a mention of either me or Flair, not a single tease, not a single, a photo. And my feeling at the time was they weren't promoting it because if it did big numbers, they would know that I would know it was main event stuff. And that when the payoffs were due, I'd be looking for main event payoff. I was told that wasn't true. It's just that Vince didn't think the deal with me and Flair was a big deal worth promoting. So I don't know where to stand. It's probably a little bit of both. But, you know, without question, that could have been played up into a much bigger deal.
Yeah. Oh, but I just, you know, to me, but you're right. It's that you can tell, especially with some of the greener kids, that they are painting by numbers. I am reading what the writer wrote for me, and it sounds like I am a mechanical man. It's there's no passion to it,
and it's not their fault, because that's how they grew up learning, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And they kind of learned probably through trial and error that if they do show up full of ideas, that their ideas are not going to be used. And I've tried talking to a couple of the younger guys, you know, who seem to be getting it. And I tell them, look, always come armed with stuff, because you never know when a free mic is going to, you know, be placed in your hand. You never know when you're going to be asked to do commentary, and you never know when something goes wrong and you have the opportunity to say something. And, man, you only get that first chance, you know, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And sometimes, like, it reminds me of Edge. When he was part of the Brood, and he hadn't spoken in months and months, and David Heath was like the leader of the Brood. Right. And when they gave Edge the chance to talk, very clearly within 15 seconds, Edge was the leader of the Brood, because even though he was in that that gothic character, clearly he was going to be the star of that crew.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what our mutual friend Terry Funk says, too, is that because someone can't memorize a script doesn't mean they're not talented. Maybe if you just cut them loose, they've got, you know, they're another Cornette or Roddy or yourself or, you know, or Flair for that matter. But you don't know until you give them an opportunity to try it.
I think you're right. I wish, you know, you guys had a chance to look at this book. There's a lot of good stuff in there about Funk. And I maintain that the big tipping point to this whole book, where the book went from being a story about a great idea to a sad story about an idea that could have been great, was when Vince gave up on Terry, because Terry had the audacity to stumble on the ramp. And at that point, Vince just lost all confidence in the match, which is why, if you look back, instead of, you know, me and Funk doing another promo like we did in Lubbock, you had me and Paulie debating, you know, about ECW, WWE with Kurt Angle running in the ring. Like, all of a sudden, it stopped being about me and Edge against Funk and Dreamer and started being just a roundabout way of, you know, maligning ECW.
Yeah, that's what. Let me ask you about that too. I mean, you were one of the ECW guys, and the way this whole thing is being approached, is it just let's use ECW's name to take our frustrations out?
I don't think that's the. I don't think that's the point of it. The jury's still out on ECW, in my opinion. I think that December to dismember was a big wake-up call for everybody. And, I think Vince was right in knowing that it couldn't just be a nostalgia act, that you had to groom your own stars. But then seemingly, when they had their own star groomed in CM Punk, you know, they went and, you know, pulled the rug out on the guy. So I really don't know. Getting over is not easy, especially getting over a new character. And when you finally get a chance to do it, I don't see what the rush was in proving to everybody that he was just Paul Lee's guy, and that he was like the wizard behind the curtain.
Well, you and I both know that I don't care what the three initials are on the front end of the promotion. That for some reason in creative things, I was down in Mobile at the Gulf Coast reunion this past weekend, and we were talking about Leo Garibaldi being a tremendous creative mind, but as a booker, if you threw an idea out and Leo liked it, he wasn't bashful about saying, that's a great idea, we're going to do it. Where a lot of bookers would say, that's horrible, and 6 months later you'd hear your angle coming back at you as their angle, right? You've been there, done that.
Well, I learned from Jake Roberts a long time ago that a wise man knows where to steal his material. But you're right. It shouldn't matter, who it's attributed to. And I've worked, with some really good, some wise bookers who wanted only their stuff making it on the screen. I've worked with some really good guys who openly, solicited ideas.
Now, I'd like to ask you a question, Mick. You, of course, have the book coming out. You're doing the rounds. You're doing all the great talk shows, and then Wrestling Weekly, and then.
And I'm talking to a lot of great wrestlers and Al Snow.
Right. Are there a lot of Al Snow jokes in this new book?
No, you want to hear what's frustrating is the thing is loaded up with test jokes, and then I guess he's not part of the company anymore.
Right. I guess that's the punchline then.
It was, and there was some good stuff in there too. And I'll probably need to call him.
Keep him hot until they hire him the next time.
Right.
They should have at least hired him to do something with me and him on ECW. Or at least, even if it's just a verbal spat. That's one of the things I'm concerned about is that I'm not going to do so many of the talk shows because what I really fear is having this book that I'm really proud of and I really like. And you have to remember, by this time, I've read it like 9 times, and I'm responsible for a lot of the editing, in that I take out things I don't think sound good. Of course, I have an editor helping me, and we have someone sweeping up my grammatical mistakes too. But at this point, I really know the book well, and I'm really happy with it. And I kind of dread doing so many interviews that, a month from now, I'm like, I never want to see that book again. And I think that was the difference when I did Scooter. I Tatum Brown, I talked about it so much, and I did 30 dates, which is an unreal amount of cities to hit. And with Scooter, I kind of took it easy. I knew it wasn't going to be a huge success, and I kind of enjoyed it and accepted its fate, and I had a really good, a really good feeling about it. So I won't be doing as many things. This is actually, I think, only my second interview, so got me while I'm still a little bit enthusiastic.
Excellent. Now, I noticed last night and a couple of promos that you're now mentioning Christy Canyon as your new love, I guess.
I love might be the wrong word there.
As your new love of the 70s.
And you're wondering why?
I'm wondering what happened to Kay Parker.
Well, you know, Kay is probably in her 60s now. And to tell you the truth, you know, she retired so young in my career. And I do, I actually make mention of the fact that, you know, Christy Canyon stepped into my solitary young sex life and filled that void that the retirement of Kay Parker left. And it was kind of like when DiMaggio stepped down for Mantle, or when Hulk Hogan made way for a fiery young Sid Vicious.
Right. It's...
I love that.
You know what it was? I had that idea that, you know, that idea during the Flair interview where I told Melina that Flair and I shouldn't be fighting. You know, he and I were not that different. And I said, you know, we both hang out with famous friends. You know, Ric Flair is a personal friend of the President of the United States, which is true. And I said, and I'm personal friends with hardcore porn icon Christy Canyon. And Christy got the better response than the president did. And then I just thought the line, like the punchline, that, you know, one of our friends got to the top by screwing a lot of people, and the other one appeared in adult films.
Right.
It was just so cute. Anytime you can take pornography and make it cute, you know, like on that commercial where I went from saying that Senator Clinton was on my caller ID to talking about hardcore porn icon Christy Canyon, and then she actually called. Like, even my wife said, that was really cute, Mick. So, and the truth is, like, she gets a kick out of it, and I have to accept the fact that in this lifetime, that's the only form of pleasure I'll ever give Christy Canyon, is making her laugh a little bit. And anyway, if she wasn't, I met her. She's a nice person, and I think she's a good person who just happened to have a weird job, which might, you know, apply to me as well. And so I enjoy dropping her name once in a while.
You know, you mentioned Melina, and that one of the things we were talking about before you came on, and I was saying that they rush these kids up out of developmental and they give them 15 minutes, and somebody said they didn't get over. Okay, well, fire them or send them back again. And I said, it takes, I don't care, the greatest performer in the world doesn't get over instantaneously. I mean, it takes, a few days, a few weeks. They don't, I mean, they're in such a rush.
I know. And I think they wrote them off at the time because, and again, I told Jer in the interview, I'm sitting there watching the interview, watching the show after the week after I'd been fired, and I see that my name isn't mentioned for an hour and a half. You know, no blurb, not the slightest mention. And I'm watching the show with my older son, and I'm like, this isn't right. Like, I thought me being fired in the most humiliating fashion imaginable would have been fairly big news. And granted, it wasn't as done as well as it could have, and I kind of talk about that a lot in the book, about how embarrassed I was that I thought that was going to be such a big deal. And I had no idea that my firing was just a backdrop to, like, DX humiliating Vince a little more. And I think, really, you know, that Vince's involvement and he was so totally absorbed with DX that anything else was secondary. But they went out there, and they didn't give a great promo, and I think it was just, all right, forget that angle. And meanwhile, you have what could be conceivably be the worst act of portrayal ever, you know, perpetrated by a WWE performer. And whether they messed up the interview or not, hey, you know, stick with it a little bit. People will follow. I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it. Some of the DX stuff fell a little flat those first several weeks, and if they had thrown in the towel as easily on them as they do on other things, they wouldn't be selling all the T-shirts, and Shawn Michaels wouldn't have had this really hot second run out of this thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I think too, one of the things we're talking about rushed, everything being rushed. The whole thing with all of a sudden you and Melina were the oldest friends in the world, and her career was paramount in your mind, and nobody thought about it probably the way I'm sitting here talking about it, but they realized something. There wasn't a connection. The point was they had never seen the two of you together. There was really nothing. I mean, it's like you and I as a tag team back in the territory days might have had a run on top for a year before you turned on me or vice versa. And now it's like, well, hey, we just met at the top of the first hour, and now we're splitting up at the top of the second hour, and we're working a loser leaves the business, you know, before the show's over.
But you know what? I think with the correct storytelling, which to me would have included like a personal interview, you could have made that story ring a lot truer.
Yeah.
And the follow-up could have been a lot better. But with that being said, the truth is 7 months ago, Johnny Nitro was not in a position to kind of cash in on that.
Right.
And no, and you know, and I'm obviously not going to work a pay-per-view match with Melina. So you know, and I watch, you know,
in
I watch
your wildest dreams.
and man, that kid has come a long way, you know, and he's got a good attitude. So
yeah,
there is a chance. Unfortunately, did you know if I had to list the worst I have ever felt physically in the business, it would be today. This is the worst I've ever felt. So I did something in my back, and now a good part of my left leg is numb. And the trip to, not numb as I can't feel anything, but numb as in terribly painful. So, you know, I felt like I really needed to be out in Phoenix, because that had to be the most miserable trip I've ever taken part in. You know, I woke up, and I had still 3 hours left on the trip, and I was I didn't know how I was going to handle it. So, fortunately, I was heavily medicated last night on the red eye. Shane saw me, and I said, Shane, I've never traveled with one pillow, let alone two. You know, I had to have one to sit on and one to my arch, and so I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back and do anything anyway. But this is really frustrating, because I don't know what it is, and the doctors don't seem to know either.
That's not good news.
Yeah, sorry to be a downer, but you know, we went to the emergency room, and it's, you don't want to say, hey, do you know who I am? When you ask me, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's the pain, and I say it's a 10, you should realize something's up, because when I come in, you know, with knee surgeries, and they say, what is the pain from 1 to 10? I'll say, I like a 2, and this was just horribly bad, and they're sending me home telling me I have a muscle strain, you know, and it makes you really question and just, you know, how advanced our medical science is when they can't diagnose something that should be pretty easy.
Right.
Now, when you, I don't know about anybody else, but when you said medicated, and knowing you don't do painkillers.
No, I don't.
Right.
I don't.
So
yeah, that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
That I've had to do it, and now I mean I have to lay with my legs up higher than my heart. I can't sit. I can't stand. The only thing I can do is lay down. So in a way, you guys are taking my mind off my troubles. But on the other hand, I'm ruining your show for you by being a doctor.
That's all right. Stick around for a couple hours. We'll help you through this.
You got anything else in the works? But I mean, going on besides the book currently?
Yeah, you know, there's always a couple of. I've always had things in the works. One of them looks like it might actually go through, and I don't want to talk about it for fear of. You know, putting a hex on it.
Right.
But the one thing I can talk about is I got news that, on two different occasions, simultaneous but separate occasions, major actors are looking at playing both the role of Tatum Brown and Andy Brown. So
really?
It's just the closest that, you know, there's always been talk about it because, you know, it is, even people who didn't like the book thought that the father was a really good character, and I always felt like some good actor would want to play that role, not because it would, you know, be a big money part, but because it's really a good acting part.
Right.
And so who knows? You may get we may see something come out of that. But I've always got a couple things going on.
I thought the finish on the book was so it was so wrestling. You have a couple false finishes, and then switch the heat. I thought that.
Well, you know what? It's funny is that when you look at it, you can. It would seem so easy if you're a novelist. You'd say, okay, get some sympathy on the baby face. Time to get a little heat on the heel. False finish. We're gonna look like we're turning the baby face now. It's all a form of storytelling. Not that if you just work with that, you know.
Right.
Basic outline, you can do anything, but I'll go out on a limb and say some of the crime novelists who are really successful have the same exact formula in every single book.
Yeah.
Well, you know, have you ever read A. Harold Robbins? I've always been fascinated by his novels.
I did read one, I believe.
And they're basically, I mean, they all flow the same, but I find myself, of course, Robbins is dead now, but I would find myself at 3 a.m., right, not wanting to... getting to the end of a chapter and thinking, well, I'm time to go. No, I need to get into this next chapter. I mean, they just They were fascinating.
Yeah, that's a sign of a really good book.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it was very comforting for me is when this book Scooter came out. I asked my editor if I could write letters to some of the authors that I enjoyed, thinking, hey, who knows, they might like my stuff. And with Tiedem Brown, my editor had sent letters out to a lot of her real literary friends that I had never even heard of. And so when I said, can I write letters on my own, she said, well, sure, but don't expect anything to come out of it. And then she read the letters, they were all handwritten, about 12 or 13 letters. And she said, darling, they're very charming, but don't expect anything out of this. And like within a week, I had a phone call from Richard Price, who wrote Clockers and Freedom Land, which was just out, and wrote several other movies, which one about the Bronx, can't recall right now, which is a lot of things that have been turned into movies. Jonathan Kellerman is one of my favorite mystery writers, gave me a great blurb. And then my editor said, I think I know this, or my publicist rather said, I think I know the answer to this question, but do you mind if I give your address to John Irving? I said, no. And then like a month later, I kind of described it as knowing how the kid in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory felt when he got the golden ticket, or how Test felt every single night of his unfathomable relationship with Stacy Keibler. Like, so when you get a letter from John Irving who said, hey, hang in there, kid, don't worry about the critics, and he thinks that you're a good writer, it's like, well,
great.
All of a sudden, the critics and whoever else and sales don't seem to matter as much.
Yeah.
Like Terry Funk giving you a compliment about your match.
That's right, but he never has.
I have a question for you, Mick. In your first book, you spoke about making the whole movie that they showed on WWE, or at least part of it that
right.
they showed, The Loved One.
Yes.
And pretty much explained how the whole thing went. But you said that it was you and your friend that had the only copies of this movie.
And now there are more out there.
And if it ever got leaked, he would have to pay. Did he ever have to pay?
Danny Zucker, bless his heart, is still one of my best friends. But, man, he put on a campaign. He must have made 40 or 50 phone calls. And I finally, in my version, I finally gave in and said, do whatever you want. In his version, he and I were partners. And, I said, Danny, I know what's going to happen. I said, 50 people are going to buy the thing, and then they'll all tape it together, and there'll be like 500 copies out there, and this thing that should have been just a joke among friends will be out there like to be looked at and obviously scoffed at because it was terrible. So it was a lot of fun when he and I looked at it, with a few friends, and that's the way it should have been remembered, but certainly I didn't want it out there.
Right.
Let me ask you, did you write Hardcore Diaries longhand on
Linda? Of course I did, Les, yeah.
All right. You still haven't invested in getting that damn typewriter?
No, I do know how to type. I mean, I don't know how to email or do any of those things, but I just feel a better connection. And because a lot of this was written on the road, and I think what's cool about it is that it was written while the action was unfolding. I think Jim Bouton kind of did that in Ball 4. He took a lot of notes, but I don't think he actually wrote it while it was unfolding. And I try to look at things from a fan's perspective, and I know that back when I was a wrestling fan, that I would have loved to have had this type of book. And from what I understand, WWE, although they allowed it in its entirety, with the exception of one line that didn't mean anything, is probably not going to grant other guys that same freedom to describe everything in so much detail.
All right. So this is the one you got to get.
Well, in my opinion, you could wait for the Harvey Whippleman actually has a book coming out too, so you could wait for that one.
I want to take a few questions from our live chat room at
sure.
WrestlingWeekly.com. Chris the Crusher, he asks, if you could have one of your characters put in the Hall of Fame, just one, which one would it be?
Probably Mankind.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Probably Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd had a pretty good career by the time I got to WWE, and it was nice that I was able to revisit that. I'll tell you a little story, a little bit disappointing, is that my younger kids, they don't really watch wrestling, but they know the video game and they play with the action figures.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they've come to the conclusion that Daddy was a stinky wrestler. So I thought, hey, I'll show these kids. And so I showed them the match where I won the title from The Rock. And my 4 and 6-year-old were rooting against me.
Oh, my God.
Against me. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to show them the one where I become Cactus Jack for the first time at the Garden.
Right.
And my 4-year-old's going, come on, Triple A. Go, Triple A. And I'm thinking, what have I done? I'm like the farthest thing from like a bad, abusive father. My kids are, you know, shouting for me to get beaten up out there. But I'd say Cactus Jack, because that's the one that, you know, really brought me.
They said in real life, do you think that you're a heel or face?
In real life?
In real life.
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm a white meat baby face. Milk-drinking white meat baby face in real life. Why? Are there people out there under the impression I'm a heel?
I have no idea.
Nah, he's a baby face.
Absolutely. You had said, and a lot of people have said it, that you were one of the most polite wrestlers around.
That's true.
But don't you ever have a bad day? Don't you, like, you're leaving, you're in a miserable mood, and some little boy comes up to you and says, can I have an autograph? You're like, no, I ain't signing autographs today.
there's two things I remember. One is that somebody bumped into Diamond Dallas Page and said that Page was the nicest wrestler they'd met. And when Page said, oh, who's the worst, they said, me.
Really?
And the second thing I remember was being at the, what the heck is that, King's Dominion Amusement Park right outside Richmond. And I'd made my first match back after having knee surgery in 99, and I realized you don't pick the hotel that's attached to the amusement park when wrestling is at the park that night. You know?
Right.
I might as well post up a sign saying, please knock at all hours in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to the park the next day, and I was just having a bad day, and I had my, my hands were filled with the 2 trays, and I was trying to get food for the family, and this kid comes up in a yellow T-shirt, and he wants my autograph. And I just look at him. I yelled, with what? You know, because both my hands were taken. And I went around looking for the kid in the yellow T-shirt for like an hour before I realized that it was Baptist Convention Day, and there were 8,000 kids in yellow T-shirts. So, yeah, there are times I have a bad day. And if I'd been out, like, you know, this pain is just baffling to me, and it's miserable. And I'm sure if I was out, and or if someone had caught me, yesterday afternoon while I was trying to get to Phoenix, you know, I would not have been in the best of moods. But, I do try to remember the way it felt when, pro athletes went out of their way to be nice to me, and likewise how it felt when they could have been a little nicer.
Absolutely. They're asking, what do you think of Eric Bischoff's book?
You know what? I did not read it. But I'll tell you what, we just did this 24/7 thing where JR was like the moderator, and Bischoff was one of the guests, and Jerry Lawler was one, and Michael Hayes as well. And I thought it was fascinating to hear him talk about the Monday Night Wars. So, I guess I should have read it, and I may still, but I heard it was pretty good. But that I heard he held back on a lot of things because it was a WWE book.
Mm-hmm. Reptile says, would you like to return to Ring of Honor at some point?
I do. I show up as a fan when they're in town. And that's, I guess I could do an unscheduled run-in just for the heck of it. But, for the next year and a half, I can't do any other wrestling shows. But I imagine once that ends, that it'd be nice just to do things that I wanted to do, you know, even if I wasn't being paid for them, you know. It'd be nice to just show up, drive 10 minutes to the ROH show and just get the approval from Gabe Sapolsky to go out and, clean a little house.
Right. Ray Elsis, what are your thoughts on the UFC and MMA as a whole?
Well, I like it. I'm not a huge fan, but I am a basic fan. And I think the biggest danger with MMA is that it just may be getting oversaturated. There's just so much of it out there, and I think a lot of its success hinges on, how they can get their, wrestlers over. And mm-hmm. It seems that now every group is going with a big-name fighter who's already over. And pretty soon, that train's going to run out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, do you find it amazing that UFC is doing what we did in the 60s and 70s to get their top matches over, and we can't seem to realize that we should be doing the same thing?
Oh, what's that? You have the secret?
Hey, it's called wrestling.
M. Johnson says, what do you think about Russo and Ferrara?
You know, I liked Russo and Ferrara, but I didn't work with them, in WCW. So I understand that they may have been better to work for when, Vince was kind of pulling the reins in on them.
All right. D-Ray says, could you share a story of your late friend Brian Hildebrand, please?
Oh, man. Well, I've got a lot of stories about Brian. But, the one, it's not like it's the most flattering story in the world, but it was, Les, you've probably been there when Brian would, hey, you want to see something? And Brian's dad used to videotape a lot of his matches. And you'd have to sit there, and Brian was the greatest guy in the world, but that didn't mean you wanted to watch him do a 45-minute Broadway as a mutant ninja turtle. And he never quite got that, that other people didn't find those single-camera shots of him wrestling in front of 200 people as exhilarating as he did. But, yeah, I'm really happy that he got to take part in the big angle with Memphis and USWA in Dallas because, he was such a great wrestling heel, but he only weighed 140 pounds. And I felt good for him that he really got to be part of a wrestling angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was what a great guy. I don't think he had an enemy, do you?
No, I mean, that'd be kind of impossible.
Yeah, I mean, what you were talking about, him watching the tape, so Jericho says, he said, Brian could find something good in matches that I couldn't stand to watch.
They're asking in the chat room about the comparisons between you and Abyss. Or I guess Mankind and Abyss. Is Abyss a clone of Mankind?
No, I mean, the mask is a little bit similar. I think certainly I was the far better-looking wrestler. Better dancer as well. I've seen him a couple times. I know he's a good worker, and I know he does some wild stuff, but I feel kind of like him, about him, like President Bush does about Bin Laden. I just don't spend that much time thinking about him.
All right, one more question.
And he's a good guy. I don't mean to say that he's not a good guy.
Right.
But I'm not, I don't sit there and go, he's always stealing my gimmick.
Right. One more before we get out of here. When you are done and over with wrestling, when you're not on TV anymore, is the writing going to take you into your golden years?
The writing?
Yes.
No, I do. Wow, that's a bad question to end on. Because I don't have any projects that I'm. I have like five ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But man, writing's it's hard. You spend hundreds of hours by yourself, and then have to go out there on the road and be subjected to the critics and endless interviews. So I may do something and do it under a pseudonym, which would be a lot more a lot easier emotionally.
Okay. Excellent.
So you better go with another question to.
Let's see. Let's get another question from the chat room here. Is it true that Melina is your child's godmother?
No.
There's a good one to end on.
It is true that I asked my wife if she could be my child's godmother.
Really?
And so you can see how that conversation turned out.
Absolutely. Mick, we're up against the wall. We got to get going. Guys, check out Mick Foley's new book. It's called The Hardcore Diaries, at bookstores everywhere starting today.
And if you get a chance, read Tietam Brown, too. I swear, it's a good book.
Hey, thanks, Les.
Mick, we'd love to have you back in the future. And after we get a hold of this book, mine is on its way. And we can talk about some of the stuff in the book, maybe.
What? Wait, my wife's, you want to say something?
tell her I said hello.
Les Thatcher says hello.
Hi.
Hello. Everybody cuts a promo in that family.
Mick, I want to thank you for being with us tonight.
All right. You guys have a great night, okay?
You too.
All
right.
God bless you. Take care.
Thanks, Les. Bye.
Bye-bye. Mick Foley here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, that's going to wrap things up. Join us next week, of course, Tuesday, 8 to 10 Eastern. The Hearthrob, Romeo Roselli, is going to be on the program. And, of course, in the following week, the lovely Lacey from Ring of Honor is going to be here. Les, it was a packed show.
Hey, even if we start 22 minutes late, we've run 4 minutes over.
That's
well,
right.
Hey, it's our world. Everybody else is just passing through it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But pass through our world once again next week, guys. We'll see you.